Hello, this is Buke from Nine Circles, and I'm here with another interview. This time I'm here with Icelandic metal band Cult of Lilith here on the eve of the release of their first debut full-length album. The album's name is Mara. That wrong. I apologize. I will butcher a lot of things here. I'm sorry about that. I mean, no disrespect, but I am joined by Mario Infantes, the vocalist. Mario, how's everything going today, brother?
Thank you for having me today, man. Everything is going pretty well. It's been good weather today, which is a thing to be grateful for in this country. And everything is going fine, man. We are super excited with releasing the stuff. Tomorrow we are releasing the video, the official video for one of the songs of the upcoming album. And what can I say, man? We are super, super excited for all the feedback we have so far and all the reactions we are.
Yeah, you know, if you haven't heard and you just mentioned you're excited about the reaction and the feedback. Here at Nine Circles and myself, I get tons of promos, and I'm constantly listening to music all the time. When Cosmic Maelstrom came across my ears, holy crap! Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that a harpsichord that starts playing? When that harpsichord kicks in, first off, that catches your attention. But then the way you guys kick into that song, wow, what an opening track you guys went. So I'm telling you, excellent choice to start a track, excellent choice to start an album. So
you know what? We were not sure if we were going to use that song because we were recommended to use one song that just kicks in directly, you know, with no intro or anything. But we just stick to it. We said, like, no, we want this one to be the first song that everyone listens to.
This is it. Now, I tell you what, it's an interesting choice because this is such a complex album. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't think of any other tracks because I listened to this album 3 or 4 times already. I can't remember another time you guys went back to the harpsichord on any other tracks. Did you?
No, there's different instruments.
What an interesting, cool thing I think about the start of this album that you almost kind of trick your listeners into. They think, oh, is this maybe a power metal album I'm about to start listening to, or is this something? And then boom, your vocals and the rest of the band come, and it's just what an excellent way to start the album.
We've got a name for the genre. We call it necromechanical baroque, basically.
Yes.
But that compiles everything we're aiming to at the moment, you know?
Yeah, there is, you know, you can, especially us here in heavy metal, we love to, everything has to be put into a genre. Everything has to be power metal or black metal or death metal or everything just can't be heavy metal or exactly. Music. It has to be put into a genre. So, again, you guys release your album September 4th on Metal Blade Records. Let's quickly talk about where we find ourselves here in early August and you and the band. Give us a quick little, I hate to say boring, but this is the stuff that people don't really, does not as interesting as the music. How do we find ourselves here at the band of Cult of Lilith coming together?
You mean how the band was formed?
Yep. How was the band formed?
Well, it all started with a guitarist, Daniel Thor. And he started looking for musicians here. This was back in time. I think it was 2014 or 2015, something like that. He lived in the States, actually, but then moved back to Iceland. And he just gathered some musicians, and they put up an EP that came out in 2016, I think, if I'm not wrong. I wasn't in the band. I was not in the band. I got into the band in 2017 when I moved to Iceland. I'm from South Spain. I was born and raised in South Spain. Then I moved to Iceland and I was looking for a band, and Daniel contacted me. And actually, at the beginning, I refused to join because I just came from another band of metal, and I've been doing metal most of my life, but I've done all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I was at that time, I was ready for something different. Like, I want to do weird shit, basically, in music. And then I listened to the last EP, that the old EP that they had, and I wasn't very interested. But then Daniel sent me a couple of demos of the new stuff, of the album that we are going to release. And I was like, fuck, man.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is it, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Immediately, I was like, dude, I'm in. And the only condition that I'm going to give is that I can do whatever the fuck I want with Mark, with the voice, you know?
Yes.
If I want to use different languages, if I want to use cleans, if I want to do weird stuff. And they agreed. So here we are.
Okay. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Okay. You said, you know, you're from south of Spain. Okay. Spain has a population of 47 million.
Uh-huh.
Iceland has a population of about 380,000.
Yeah.
Okay. I can, not to speak for you, but I can imagine the us metalheads, we're a small bunch as it is, but the Icelandic metal community must be even more slim pickings than in Spain.
Oh, absolutely. You know, even in my hometown, you know, there were plenty of bands in my hometown in South Spain. But, you know, I would say that even though it's such a small scene here, it's quite healthy. You know, there's many amazing musicians here. Many artists, actually, not only music, like, there's just so many artists being such a small population, you know, and taking into account that the whole country is 360 more or less, but then almost two-thirds of the whole population live in Reykjavik, you know, in a city.
Yes.
So, you know, being such a small population, it's amazing the amount of artists, you know, and actually really good standards in general. I don't know. Many of my favorite bands are from here. Actually, I think there are absolutely amazing musicians in the scene here.
You know, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, how does one come from nice sunny Spain to say, hey, I want to move to Iceland? You know, normally you would think it's almost the other way around. Normally it's like, I got to get out of here. I got to get to somewhere warm and sunny.
But it's just retired people, you know, when they're old, they move to Spain. Because, I mean, as nice as it sounds, you know, the sun and stuff, it sounds good when you're on holidays there, you know, in Spain. Because when you are in holidays, everything is perfect. You know, everything is sunny. People are happy. La, 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 you're having fun. Everything is cheap as fuck, you know.
if you're a football fan, some of the best football in the world is played there, you know. Exactly.
I have no clue about football, but yeah, I know it's Spain is quite famous for the football scene. But yeah, I mean, it's very different when you're on holidays, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You know, when you have to work there, it's different because the wages are quite low. And I don't know, people are a bit more judgmental also. You know, when you have a lot of tattoos, it's more difficult to find a job there. Like here in Iceland, no one gives a shit, basically.
Yeah.
And but that wasn't the reason, actually. I just, you know, I've always had a weird connection with this country. Like 7-8 years ago, somehow I knew I was going to end up here at some point, and I wasn't wrong.
That is, you know, that's almost something that I wish myself I am guilty of, or, you know, I have friends and family. I think a lot of us as humans, we don't take sometimes that leap and just, hey, I'm just going to jump in and do it. That sounds like you moving. Hey, I always wanted to, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a leap of faith back then, because I just grabbed a plane. I saw a cheap plane from Spain, and I was like, I'll just go, and I will just figure it out when I get there.
That is awesome. Now, you know, with the internet being what it is, and music and stuff like that, this is interesting because, you know, you found fellow countrymen now who are into metal scene, but is it still, have you found it hard maybe in the starting days to get exposure being from such a small country? Was that over a hurdle you guys have had to overcome yet?
Well, I mean, thanks to the internet, not really.
Okay. You know?
And actually, I would say that thanks to signing with Metal Blade, we're getting a lot of exposure, actually. You know, much more than I had with my old bands in Spain, for example. You know, I've been touring with my old bands in Spain, but I never had this kind of exposure, you know, with Metal Blade making promo and a lot of people contacting us. Just because Metal Blade is it's a seal of quality, basically.
Oh, God. You know what? Can I borrow that? That I absolutely love that. You know, Metal Blade. I have never thought about that, but you know, there's hundreds and thousands of labels and independent labels, but Metal Blade. You know, and I interviewed Brian. I interviewed Brian Slagle years ago. Yeah, and it is almost like when you have that Metal Blade seal of approval, you know almost what you're getting before you listen to it.
Exactly. I mean, they have some of my favorite bands ever, you know, like they have fucking Igor, for example. Igor for me are the absolute fucking best, you know. Igor, Black Dahlia Murder, Killswitch Engage, Cannibal Corpse, Carnation, fucking hell, man. Like that shit is pretty good stuff, you know. So
you go on and on.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, the exposure we get thanks to Metal Blade is definitely, it's way more than, for example, I was doing with my old bands in Spain, even touring. You know, just today it's all about the internet, you know. And then touring is just supporting all that promotion you do online, basically.
You mentioned Igor there. God, Mike, that is a band I totally forgot. That one album that looks like a twisted ball of people or something. Oh, God. What an album that is.
Dude, the last album also is just insane. Insane.
Yeah, what a twist. Yeah, what an amazing project. Yes, but yeah, what... You are joining, like you mentioned, Killswitch Engage. They, for me, have been for years one of my favorite bands. You know, you join Amon Amarth, Cattle Decap. You know, you guys are coming in, joining, you know, a lot of storied bands in the metal scene.
Absolutely.
So you want to talk on that for a second. How did you guys shop around to a bunch of labels? Did Metal Blade contact you? How did that happen?
Yeah, for me, that's one of the most amazing things, because, you know, Metal Blade or like a label that big, I don't think they would be interested in bands like us, but we don't have any social media following still. So it's amazing that they just contacted us because they loved the album, you know. It's such a risk, actually, because I guess they would only, you know, hire bands that have some following already, blah, blah, blah. But our band had like 300 followers in Instagram before Metal Blade, you know? So they're taking such a huge risk just because they believe in the album, you know, just because they think the album is sick. And well, the thing is, we mixed the album with Dave Otero, the producer in Colorado. And when he finished the album, he said, guys, this is fucking sick. and I think the people in Metal Blade should listen to this. And we were like, oh yeah, whatever, you know. We thought he was just being nice to us, you know.
Oh yeah, something he probably tells everybody.
Exactly. We were like, of course, you said that to everyone. It's like, where's Christina, you know? But 3 days later, Metal Blade sent us an email and said they were interested in signing with us. And we were like, what?
What is happening? Wow, okay.
Exactly. So, I mean, we were pretty excited. So it took a couple of months of negotiation, you know, like back and forth. And finally, we got a pretty good deal. And here we are, about to release the album.
Now, you know, it's Metal Blade and I, you know, probably speaking for every label. You know, they want their bands out there. And, you know, let's take out the fact that, you know, we have this global pandemic happening. So let's say it wasn't happening. Does, mm-hmm. you know, of course, you guys are a short plane ride, you know, to mainland Europe and stuff like that. Is there any problems that being from Iceland presents you guys in terms of touring and stuff like that?
I mean, it is a bit of a hassle for sure. You know, as it's not the same as being in the mainland for sure. Like yes. You need to begin with, you need to grab a plane to anywhere in Iceland. In Europe, taking all the stuff in the plane, you know, and then hire. Rent a van or whatever, you know, but just the first step of, you know, grabbing everything and putting on a plane and that's a bit of a hassle, but I mean, that's definitely not going to stop us from touring.
Of course. I absolutely love that.
Not at all.
So again, Mara comes out September 4th. When did you guys start actually recording this and writing this? Was that earlier this year? Was that last year?
We have been sitting on the album for a year almost now.
Like, what are you doing? You've been depriving us from this now? Wow.
Yeah, because we were looking for a label at the beginning, and then we found Metal Blade.
Okay.
And we were actually going to release it on March, but then COVID. And everything was a fucking chaos. And then they said, okay, let's release it on September.
Okay.
But
okay.
We actually, we've been sitting on the album since September. I think in September, actually, we got the final mix of the album, you know.
Okay.
And we spent almost a year recording it. And I know it sounds like a lot of time, but honestly, it was a lot of time recording it because, you know, we all have our jobs and we could only record in the weekends and we are such fucking perfectionists. So we wanted everything to be because we thought the material was good. You know, we thought the stuff we wrote was good. So we want to make it justice. You know, we didn't want to fuck it up in the studio. So we took definitely our time, you know, to record it. And yeah, it was a very long process. Very long process.
That's, Mario, that's a real interesting point you brought up. Coming into a band who had already done a EP prior, back in 2016, how have the other members accepted you? Did they allow a lot of your input? Or was Christian or Samuel, were they like, nope, Mario? You don't get a say, you know, you sit there, wait till it's your turn, but were they all welcoming and you just had an input as if you were in the band from the start?
No, not really. Everyone was super welcoming, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were very excited because, I mean, I guess I'm a bit of a fresh air in the Icelandic scene because, of course, I'm very, very different to anything else in the
for people who don't see you, a bigger buff guy who has tats everywhere, his sleeves and on his face and everything, you stand out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end it's like a village, you know, so it's like, oh, the foreigner, you know, like. So yeah, no, they were super welcoming and we've been, you know, we are always like trading ideas. We're always discussing stuff. we call ourselves Cult of Overthinking sometimes, because we do overthink everything. Like, we discuss everything, you know. It's not like one has an idea and just carries it on, you know. One has an idea, we discuss it in the chat, and we vote for it. Like, everything is discussed. So, and everyone, of course, everyone has a voice, and we vote. We keep it definitely democratical.
Now, you know, as full of and technical as a sound that you guys have, I think a lot of credit. And this is not knocking any other, you know, smaller piece bands, but I just interviewed Luca from Necrot last week. You know, mm-hmm. one of the big, you know, traditional death metal bands. They're a three piece, and I know, you know, they play totally different music from you guys. But you know, when I listen to you guys, I'm reminded the sound that you can get when you add, you know, to get guitarists and stuff like that. Just the sound that you guys have is
hits you,
right? Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking actually yesterday, I had another interview not long ago, like a couple of days ago, and I was thinking that one of the things I'm most proud of is we found our sound, you know. And I've always thought that as a musician, that's the ultimate goal. You know, at least for me, like finding your kind of your personality or your sound in music, that's one of the most difficult things as a musician. I mean, some people find it pretty soon, and I mean, pretty lucky ones, I would say. Yeah. But I mean, it has taken me so many years of singing to finally be comfortable and say, and you know, and say, okay, this is my sound, you know, and this band sounds like this band, you know.
But like, now, it is interesting. You mentioned find your sounds, and we look at like fellow label mates. I mentioned them. I love them, like Killswitch Engage. Mm-hmm. They've had, you know, a couple lineup changes. You know, Jesse's back at vocals after Howard was in them for. And I'm a huge Howard Jones fan. I think he's one of the greatest.
I love Howard, man. I like Jesse, but I gotta be honest with you. I fucking love Howard.
Yeah, I am the same way.
There's something about it, man. I don't even know. And if I am honest with you, probably Jesse, it's even a better singer technically, you know. But man, fucking Howard.
Yeah,
I fucking love Howard. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in the Killswitch, you know, when they debuted, their first album, I absolutely loved. And when Alive or Just Breathing came out, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then when Howard joined for the end of Heartache, was wow. If there's probably one album I go back to for a band, I could spin the end of Heartache nonstop. So where I am getting with this is that you have other members that, like with Killswitch, their sound has changed up through the years. Mm-hmm. In Flames, their sound over the years has changed and stuff like that. What do you think it is right now that you have, you said, landed on your sound? Do you think it's just that the members in the band you're with now? Do you think that it's maybe years and years of doing this?
You know, it's a compilation of all of them, and also having just life experiences. You know, I felt like the last 3 years of my life have been quite intense. You know, a lot of us happened, and you know that transforms you, basically. You know, and music is art, so you cannot only give it one reason. You know, there's everything is involved in that progression and that evolution, you know. Like everything is part of it. Like, of course, I've listened to new music. I got in the band, so I get to work with different musicians. Then I get introduced to new music. I write new music. I listen to new music, but then new stuff happens in my life that makes me, you know, think in a different way. And I start trying different things in singing. it's a compilation of many, many reasons, I would say.
Okay, now, Mario, how did you personally, this is something I don't ask a lot of artists, because, you know, I feel a lot of interviews ask the same question, but I think our discussion kind of leads me here. How did you personally get into music as like a young man growing up in Spain? Do you remember what it was like? Was there an album for you? Was there maybe a video you watched? Was there someone that said, hey, I can sing? Or maybe does it go back when you were younger than that? Was there like a parent or like a grandparent who sang that made you want to sing?
Not really, man. Like in my family, no one is a musician. In my family, most of them are either teachers or photographers, basically. Okay. So no music at all, no musical background. It's just, I don't know, man. You know, I can tell you something. It all started with Rammstein. And I discovered Rammstein because when I bought this album by Marilyn Manson, the Mechanical Animals album, it came as a gift, the Live aus Berlin video.
Okay.
Like the VHS tape with it. And that's how I discovered Rammstein. It's still one of my, or even my favorite band ever, basically. So when I saw that, you know, that performance, that whole gig, I was like, wow. I don't know what this is. I was 8 years old, I think. Around 8 years, yeah. And I didn't understand what was going on. You know, I didn't understand what I was watching, but I watched that live gig religiously once a day for weeks, you know. And I think that's where it all started, actually. That's where I saw, okay, I need to perform, you know. This is what I want to do.
And did you know that it was always going to be metal? I'm sorry to step on you, Mario. Did you know it was always going to be metal?
No, not really, because I've performed all kinds of stuff. I've done jazz, I've done blues, all kinds of stuff, and I love it, you know. But when it comes to performing, man, I always say, like, metal is such a different thing. I don't know if you're a musician yourself, but playing metal in live shows or recording, just playing in general, is such a different energy, such a different experience to anything else, you know.
I personally don't play, and I'm not a musician myself, so I've always said that this is kind of my way of contributing to. The only instrument I play is this gift of gab that I have. So so I try and help the metal community by sharing music that I love with the world and having artists, you know, have a voice that isn't on stage.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. You know, I will butcher a Guitar Hero song on easy. So but You know, do your fellow band members, do they have the same thing? Did they grow up in music too? Or any of them maybe like a late bloomer that maybe found music late?
I'm not sure how they started. I know that Daniel, for example, his father or his grandfather was a musician, I think. Like he was surrounded by instruments at the beginning, you know. Also, Christian, I think he was introduced into music playing when he was quite young. But Kjartan and Sami, I don't really know. I don't really know how they all started playing. I have no idea, to be honest.
Okay.
No.
So you mentioned earlier, you mentioned about the recording and the gentleman who recorded the album. Who was that again, and how was your experience with him?
Dave Otero. He was the guy who mixed, for example, the last Cattle Decapitation album.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Which is fucking amazing. That album is sick, man.
Yes, it is, buddy.
And, We were thinking about different producers and stuff, and we ended up contacting Dave Otero. And man, honestly, I couldn't be happier with the result. Like when I first heard, that was, you know what, actually that was my main goal. When I first listened to the mix, I was like, fuck, this sounds actually beyond my expectation, you know. And always with music, at least in my experience, you know, it's been always a bit disappointing, you know, when you get the mix of the album, it's always a bit disappointing. So I was ready to be disappointed, you know.
And then the mix,
I was like, fuck, finally, you know. And this is the real mom I made it for me, you know. I know, I mean, the Metal Blade stuff is definitely amazing, but for me, getting that mix and making justice to the stuff we wrote, that was definitely my...
And, you know, Mario, I can at least I speak for myself here. I can't speak for, you know, other metal fans, but that to me, if you want to, I guess, turn something off to me, even, you know, right from the bat, is to me personally a poor recording quality. Now, like, I know some people love music that sounds like it was recorded through a little kid's Hello Kitty speaker system when they like the early rough black metal stuff. Some people love that. To me, I want my music to where it sounds like we're living in 2020. Like, it embraces the technology that we have. And that's what stands out right from the start. Like, my amazing music, like, I have a couple $1,000s, I'm not flexing here, but I have a couple $1,000s stereo speaker system here. When I listen to music, your guys' music shines on this. So I want to say it's a testament to his work. And please, I see what you're saying, that the recording quality alone shines.
Thank you, man. Like, I really appreciate it. And, you know, this is why we play, you know, this is the reason we play for, you know, so that people can appreciate it and enjoy the music. And, it's so good, honestly, to hear this, because I've been so many times disappointed, you know, when you write something and then it doesn't sound the way you want. And I definitely agree with the quality thing. I mean, why would you like to make it sound like shit, you know, when it can sound fucking
sick? I have never personally understood that. Now, like, I'm a big video game player, for example, as a hobby. I can understand, like, for example, when people, to break things up, they maybe use, like, the artistic style of, like, old 8-bit graphics and stuff like that. But with music and stuff, when we have technology and software that can produce such amazing sounds, there's no need not to embrace it. That's always been my take on it.
I completely agree. And I think also it's very different with video games, because I fucking love the pixel art, for example.
Oh, do you? Oh, okay.
I absolutely love the stuff they are doing now with pixel art. But still, it's different, you know? It's not... It doesn't look wonky, you know, like a fucking Nintendo game from the 80s. You know?
Like, it looks like there's depth and layers to it. Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah, of course, if you can make it sound good, why would you just not do it?
Okay. Now,
I mean, if you have money for a good production, I get it. You know, I understand it for sure. But if you got the money, why? You see these huge ass bands, you know, like world famous bands, releasing albums that sound like shit sometimes, and you think, why?
Yes.
You know how? Yeah.
I'm glad you just mentioned that too, because there have been some big. Nothing comes to mind right now, but in my couple decades of listening to music, there have been a couple big name bands that have released something. Like, okay, we quickly go back to, like, the biggest band of all time in metal, Metallica, you know, aside from the songwriting. When they released Saint Anger, Lars's snare sound is famous for ruining that album, and the recording quality on that, still today, people are talking about it.
That's something that comes as a surprise, like, oh, I didn't know the snare would sound like this. You've listened to the album a million times before it's released, you know, like, so you've given green light to that snare sound, basically.
Yes.
That's what I don't get, honestly.
Yes.
That's what it's...
Yeah. Okay, now, aside from the sound of it, if people were to pull up your guys' website, coatofilith.com, okay, it's gorgeous pictures of the group. Again, coatofilith.com. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if they were to look at the pictures before hearing it, you could possibly see how people think that they're in for like a nice power metal band. I have to ask about the pictures. I love them, but you guys look like nice, proper gentlemen in nice suits and jackets and sport coats. You almost look like you're about to board a nice pirate ship or something.
that's definitely part of the concept. Also, of the band, you know, the attires and everything is completely attached to the band. Like, we play the gigs, we play live with attires on. All the photo shoots and everything. We even thought at the beginning of, you know, keeping the image, like keeping the character basically for everything. But then we were like, we don't want to take ourselves too seriously, you know, like.
Yeah, let's leave that to Alestorm. They can take themselves super seriously with their pirate metal.
Like, it's not Ghost or anything, you know, like. I've got my character, you know, in the band, like with the attire and everything. But then I'm, you know, at home I'm Mario, you know, and I don't want to be anyone else, you know, when I'm at home. So, but yeah, I mean, the attires are definitely part of the concept. Also, the necromechanical baroque, you know, everything is a bit tied on that. But yeah, we were also very sure and. On that decision, you know, on keeping the attires for photo shoots, for like live gigs and stuff. Yeah,
I love
it. Like the image of the band.
Yeah, I love it. Like an image to a band. Yeah, I absolutely love it because you can be another band up on stage wearing black shirts and black pants. We have millions of them.
Exactly.
So I have to ask: is what the lyrical themes to the band and any overarching theme that kind of is sewn together from song to song?
Sorry, come again?
Is there any theme that ties the songs together, like lyrically? Is there... obviously, this isn't like a concept album, you know, but...
I mean, there's definitely a theme gathering them together. It's Mara, which is this demon by Lilith in literature, you know, in the Bible and stuff. That is supposed to be connected with the concept of the sleep paralysis, basically. And also Lilith is also connected to dreams. And so I pictured every song as a dream, basically. Like, because they are fiction at the end, you know. Of course, they make reference to emotions also, or stories of mine, you know, like experiences of mine. Or just stories that I made up. Like, for example, there's one song that is dedicated to a monster of the Doom video game, for example.
Okay. Oh, now please, which one's that? Because I've already listened to the album a couple of times. But
I've entered the Mancubus. The Mancubus is one of the monsters in Doom, actually.
Yes.
And I when I heard the song, for some reason, I pictured this monster in my head. And then I created a fiction around it, you know?
Yeah, because for those who don't know, the Mancubus in Doom, look at this, I'm talking video games. I'm talking metal and video games. I'm getting, like, super excited here.
Yeah.
This is, the Mancubus is this big, huge, hulking, like, fat guy with two big cannons as arms. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, I mean, other songs would make reference to experiences of mine, you know, that I've had during these years, and emotions, different things, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
They're all connected somehow.
Okay. Now, you just mentioned it with Doom, and I mentioned it with video games earlier. I have to ask, are you a video game player? Like you mentioned, you love the 8-bit graphics and stuff, the pixel art. Do you play video games at all?
I play way too much, I would say.
Yeah, no. Mario, we're in good company here, brother. We're in good... Like, as we're doing this interview, my Discord's blowing up right now. Guys are asking me, hey, hop on, let's play this and this.
Yeah, I play so much, actually, man.
Oh, Mario, you're in good company.
I'd be a successful musician today. If it wasn't for video games, I probably would be
Okay, well, I have to ask, I know our listeners and some of our, you know, staff members here also play. What do you, are you a PC gamer first? Are you a console guy?
You know what? I've always been PC.
So am I. Oh, Mario, you're talking my language.
Yeah, actually, the last video console that I got was Super Nintendo, like 20 years ago. And then a couple of years ago, I got a Nintendo Switch, and I gotta admit, I love the Nintendo Switch, actually. I love the Nintendo Switch, but mostly it's PC. Yeah. PC it's been always my platform. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What do you play on your PC? Because I'm a big PC guy myself.
I love Western RPGs, for example.
Oh, like I just mentioned it last night. I've been playing through Desperados 3, a turn-based tactical strategy game. Amazing. Oh,
yeah. I haven't played that one, but I know that one.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, for example, Baldur's Gate, Sirius, Divinity, Dragon Age, all that kind of stuff I love. And then, you know, also I love FPSs también, also, like Bioshock, old games like Unreal, Half-Life, all these games. Yeah, in PC, I mean, I've played so much. I played a lot of Warcraft 3 back in the day. A lot. And I played World of Warcraft also back in the day. But yeah, if I have to choose my favorite genre, it would be definitely Western RPGs. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing with me, I play a lot of, like, I have the Divinity series 1 and 2. What's the one that I can't think of the one that's coming to mind, but like that, I love those games, but my attention span, because my ADD is so bad, I can't sit and focus on like a lot of the reading that goes on with a lot of those games. I want to get into them so much.
I totally get it.
I have to ask, because it's you know, I've seen nothing like it in games. You know, growing up my whole life, like, I love metal, but games are my passion. It took the world by storm. Did you have a phase at all, maybe even for a day or two? You can be honest with me, we're friends. Did you get into Fortnite at all? Come on, we're all friends here. I suck at it.
I'm gonna be super honest, I tried it one day.
Okay.
And honestly, I'm not the kind of guy who is like a games gatekeeper or anything. You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm not going to play that shit because everyone plays it. I honestly tried it with an open heart, you know.
Yes.
I was like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to pretend no one plays it. I don't care, you know, if it got incredibly famous. Because actually, that game was different when the first Fortnite was like a tower defense game, and I was super interested in it, actually. Yes. But then the Battle Royale thingy blew up, basically. So I tried it with an open heart, like, and this is the guy who played League of Legends for some time, you know.
Oh,
so,
did you really? Okay.
So this is what I'm saying, like. I played it honestly with an open heart, and I fucking hate it.
You know, it's so funny you say exactly that. Like, I was talking to my girlfriend a week or two ago. Fortnite is one of those games that it is so big that you feel like you are missing something. Tried it. I played it again the other night with my daughter. It's, you know, my daughter is 6. It's like I feel like I'm missing something. Like it should come over me, and it hasn't yet.
A generation jump or something, you know, like we are from a different generation. It felt off. So for some reason to me too, like it felt like this is not for me. You know?
Yeah, like a lot of the emotes and the dances and the humor. Yeah, just felt like it was. Yeah,
it didn't make anything for me, you know, like it was just and honestly, again, I'm not a gatekeeper or anything with games. Like, I'm excited to try new stuff, but I don't know, it's just I didn't enjoy it at all.
Okay, yeah, this is my last gaming question. You know, it's funny, I'm on Reddit all the time, and I see people like in Australia posting like high ping and stuff like that. How is the Iceland internet connection for gaming?
Man, it's pretty good actually.
Okay.
The thing is, of course, it's in an island outside of everything. So sometimes I feel like in Spain it was easier. You know, like you would find games
just
faster.
Like that, yeah.
But it's good, man. I don't have many troubles with that, to be honest.
Yeah, okay, because I always see people like in Australia trying to play, and they're like, yeah, I'm playing COD today, and my ping's like 120 or something. You know,
I would say the ping is not a problem here. I would say it's more of a finding a match, basically.
Finding a match, yeah.
But then it's quite stable. I'm not struggling. No, not really.
Okay. Thanks for indulging me on the game chat, my friend, because I could literally talk games for hours.
Man, I could be talking about games fucking forever. Like,
well, you know what? Maybe offline, I'll have to share with you my Steam name, and we can hook up and play games.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. Mario, I have to ask, we talked about the total package that you guys are bringing here on the debut with Mara. It's amazing. I have to mention the album art. I absolutely love it. Talk about that. Who'd you guys contact for the album art?
Well, that was a very good decision on our behalf, honestly. Like we thought about many artists, and I'm so glad we decided to contact Eliran Cantor, because I mean, man, his stuff, he just released one cover, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. It was insane. It's insane, the stuff he does. And I don't know, we just contacted him and we talked about the concept with him, and he just fucking nailed it, you know. I don't know, it was just it was a very fluent communication, and he just nailed it. He just nailed the concept and everything we had in mind, and it was perfect.
Of course, I'm not in the band. I don't have a say, but you look at like the bands like Bellwitch or some of these bands that are using, I'm drawing a blank on, I believe it's a female, but the one who does like the Bellwitch album art, like there is art that our artists are starting to use with a bunch of their art. Like I think she was the one who did the Abigail Williams album cover last year. But you're okay. You know what? I just looked it up. She also did the Testament album cover.
Oh yeah, he did. Yes. Testament and
Iced Earth, Sodom.
Yeah, yeah. The Artist Murder also. He's done a bunch of bands. He did also one cover from Soulfly that was fucking sick. Also, like one with angels and yeah, very, very, very interesting stuff. He's an amazing artist.
Yeah, he did the Bloodbath album cover.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if there's one thing you can do, maybe stick with them, because that could almost kind of, I love the album art, and it is funny how in this digital age we live in, this album art still plays such an important role, because you would think nobody cares about album, because you're not even really looking at the album art. But I myself am a big vinyl guy. I love still looking at the album art. I love when I listen to my music. I love still on Spotify or whatever seeing the big album art in the corner. I love it. So
yeah, man, it's part of the music. You know, it's part of the concept. Like, everything is like a box, and this is just one more side of the box, you know? Like, otherwise the box would be incomplete, I guess.
Yeah, well, wow. Yeah. I tell you. We are, you know, the album, not want to take up too much. I got one or two more questions. With the album coming out September 4th, and the virus and stuff, for people who are excited and want to see you guys, who knows when we're going to get live music and stuff back?
Yeah.
Maybe, are you guys maybe talking about, like, how do you guys as a band talk about possibly touring to support this? Because it's a rough time to try and support this album, you know, on the tour scene now. Are maybe festivals or people talking to you guys maybe for next year or something? Are you starting to try and maybe pencil things in, or it's all up in the air?
I don't really know anyone has an answer now, to be honest. Yeah. Like, everything is definitely in the air. Of course, we've been talking about touring. We've got some offers. But, you know, everything is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like, life in Iceland, honestly, like, the virus in Iceland wasn't a big thing at all. You know, there were, like, 12 dead people in Iceland from COVID. Only 12 people.
Yeah, here in the States, we're over 150. Like, it's thousands. Yeah.
It's insane. Insane. Yeah. So, imagine you're just 12 people, you know. So, life was going back to normal, basically. Everything was back to normal, but then they opened the borders for tourists because the economy here is super dependent on tourism.
Okay.
And now there's a second wave, you know. So now there's restrictions again. So, you know, everything is so unpredictable at the moment. Like, you just live by the day, you know, that you just try to survive. And
And
we don't make plans too long ahead because it makes no sense, you know, because everything changes so quickly and no one has an answer. And it's just, we try to, of course, we are planning stuff. We're thinking about touring, but
who knows?
There's nothing like solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, for all we know, you know, they talk about like a vaccine and stuff. For all we know, hey, maybe December, January or next year, who knows? You know, who absolutely knows? Like, I myself am retired on disability, with heart failure and an autoimmune disorder. So me, like, since February or March, I haven't really gone out of the house and done anything. So who knows what the heck the world's going to be.
Yeah.
Looking at your guys' Instagram here, Instagram, Cult of Lilith on Instagram, you guys have a album for Purple Tide debuting tomorrow, actually.
Releasing the official video tomorrow around 4 p.m. I think.
Okay.
I think so.
You want to talk about that? Is this a actual true video? Is this a lyric video?
It's a video with a band playing and narrative going on, and it's like a full video.
Great, sure. great. Because I don't know how much labels push bands to do them. I'm not a fan of lyric videos. I think lyric videos are for, like, you know, teenagers or whoever sitting home, you know, wanting to, like, sing in their bedrooms or something. But I like seeing bands playing their music, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we are releasing tomorrow the video, which is, you know, like, band and narrative going on, blah, blah. And we're also going to release playthrough videos, you know, like,
yes,
guitar playthroughs, drum playthroughs. And I was thinking about even releasing, like, doing some vocal performance, like live videos or something like that.
Well,
once it's out, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, I tell you what, Mario, in this day and age right now, people who are like myself, even if they don't have health concerns like I do, when people really can't go out in public and do things, I know with fans I've spoken to, they're just dying for any content or anything that they can do. So even if you release vocal playthroughs or guitar play or drum, if people could just get their hands on anything they want. So exactly. You guys are releasing this CD. There's merchandise all up on the site, cultoflilith.com, your Facebook page, Instagram, Bandcamp, Twitter. This is absolutely everywhere. What an exciting time for you and the band.
Man, honestly, we are super excited. We are, and also with this video, because it was quite special for us, this video, like the shooting and everything. We shot the video in such a fucking amazing place in Iceland, you know, one of my favorite places in Iceland, actually. And we were so lucky because we had fucking splendid weather that day. And that's not the case normally. You know? So, oh, fuck. Okay. I have another interview coming.
Okay, so let me.
I'm going to just message the guy and tell him a couple of minutes.
Yeah, okay. I'm about to sign off. Yeah, message him. See, I told you, I talked too damn long. Okay, well, Mario, I appreciate the time you've given me today. Again, your guys' debut, Mara, releases September 4th through Metal Blade Records. I've mentioned the links a couple of times. It's everywhere. The video for Purple Tide should be out when you hear this, so watch that. Please support these guys. The single is out right now. You can listen to that. It'll blow you away like it did me. Mario, thank you for the time today, brother.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate your time, and I have such a blast talking to you.
I did too, bud. And I do look forward. Hopefully, we can game.
Sure, absolutely, man. Okay. Whenever.
Okay, my friend.